All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Today's December 5th, 2025. And our top story this morning, Warner Brothers getting passed around once again. What stage? It's, you know, whenever Warner Brothers gets bought and sold, something bad usually happens not too long after that. Well, this morning it's Netflix is buying Warner Brothers, one of the biggest media mergers of all time. At least since the last time Warner Brothers got bought as part of the AOL Time Warner merger. Actually, that was two times ago that Warner Brothers got bought. $82.7 billion is the valuation for Warner Brothers when you take the debt out of that one. Netflix is paying about $72 billion for the company. That's $27.75 a share for WBD. That's a mix of cash and stock. Look, they were bought by AOL Top Warner. That was pretty much the top for the dot-com bubble. A few years later, they took AOL out of the name. And then what happened after that? They spun them off. They were bought by Charter Communications. They got spun off. They merged with Discovery. Now they're spinning it off. Looks like Netflix is really only interested in the library of, you know, all the movies and the movie studio. They're spinning off their TV networks. Sorry, looks like CNN is going to be homeless again. I'm sure they'll find a nice place to stay. Maybe they could have a couch in MSNBC's apartment for a little while till they get on their feet. Hey, you know, good luck to you. If it happens to everybody, we're all down on our luck sometimes. Another thing to keep an eye on with this deal is movie theaters. This cannot be good for theaters because one thing Netflix doesn't do is release their titles in theaters. Every now and then they do a limited showing, but not really. And so if you're a name like AMC here, this means you're going to have fewer opportunities for that big release movie, right? None of the Warner Brothers stuff is going to be available in your theaters anymore. Can't be good for the movie theater experience, which, of course, is already struggling. Meanwhile, we've got HPE earnings also came out this morning. They are down big on a revenue miss and lousy guidance. Stop me if you've heard this one. Deals for server workloads have been pushed into 2026. If you heard that, that sounds an awful lot like Supermicro and the delays for data center projects that they announced with their earnings. Once again, they were pushed into 2026. Don't worry, the bubble's not bursting. It's just a gully. That's all. Okay. I mean, the greatest thing since sliced bread, not doing so well. As a matter of fact, the Bank of England was out with a note this morning talking about how, what is it they said? Materially stretched valuations for tech companies, particularly those centered on artificial intelligence, could be a threat to financial stability. Holy crap. When did the greatest thing since sliced bread and curing the cancer of the world, when did we go from that? And then just a few weeks later, all of a sudden it's a threat to financial stability. Nobody saw that coming. Also, Wall Street, once again, there's an article about them trying to dump their risk from data centers onto unsuspecting investors, inventing all kinds of new cockamamie products to do so. We've got earnings from SoFi. This was interesting. Forget the earnings for a second. SoFi is diluting their shareholders with a $1.5 billion public offering, issuing more shares. That's the second time this year SoFi has done this. They're saying the reason is to improve capital and for general business purposes. You know, this name is up big. They're up like 90% year to date. Second time they're issuing shares. I am highly suspicious of this company. Most of their business is unsecured personal loans. Loans to people who need money and don't have collateral. What's the worst thing that could happen? Don't answer that. And then, of course, what do they do with those loans? They do what every one of these shady AF companies does. They bundle them into securities and they sell them to grandma's pension. Hey, what's the worst thing that could happen? Don't answer that. You look at the stock chart for a name like SoFi, it looks an awful lot like the stock chart for a name like Carvana. That's interesting. Also, Oklo, that's one of my favorite names, this company, they're issuing $1.5 billion of stock. Everybody ran out and bought Oklo yesterday because Jensen Huang said a thing on Joe Rogan about, oh, everybody's going to have a little nuclear reactor to operate. No, that's not how that's going to work. But hey, you know, apparently that's how NRC decisions on novel reactor designs get made now. CEOs say a thing on podcast and then poof, nuclear plants pop up, right? Isn't that how that works? No, it's not. Well, people went out and bought the stock. They bid it up like 15% yesterday. And what's the first thing Oklo does? They issue $1.5 billion a share, diluting those people who bought the hype. What did you think they were going to do? They're a pre-earnings, pre-revenue, pre-product company. They have no revenue and no product. Of course, they're going to sell stock. It's the only way they can keep paying their executives, who, by the way, are dumping stock hand over fist. What's the worst thing that could happen? Don't answer that. Elon Musk is getting fined 120 million euros from the European Union. Why? Because he lets people say whatever the hell they want on X. And the people in the European Union, they don't like that. They want to be able to control what everybody says. Hey, isn't that the whole reason why we even have this country in the first place? Hey, Europeans, bite me. No offense, European melonheads. I like you guys. It's your governments I freaking hate. This one's for you, European Union. Elon, don't pay him. I realize if you dropped $120 million on the sidewalk, it probably wouldn't be worth your time to bend over and pick it up. But just on the principle of the matter, tell them to go F themselves, please. Pretty please. What do we got? Elon, not Elon. We got Zuck, one of the other ones. Zuckerberg, he's in the news again. We talked about this one briefly yesterday because the story broke while we were live. Meta is dumping the metaverse. Big cuts coming to their absolutely CapEx burning metaverse project. And you know, I was about to turn a profit on that investment, the real estate that I bought in the metaverse. I was so close. I didn't buy real estate in the metaverse. That's a joke for those whose sarcasm detector is out of Cal this morning. I wonder, is that maybe a precursor? Is that suggesting that there is a shift going on within Silicon Valley? Because let's face it, the metaverse is the low-hanging fruit, right? That's the easy one to cut. Is this a sign of things to come elsewhere at Meta, or maybe even from other Mag 7 companies? I got my eye on you, data center CapEx expenditures. Just saying, if they're cutting that, it looks like they're looking to streamline. They're looking to slow their cash burn. Meta is also in the news this morning. We got a story breaking in Axios that Meta is going to be cutting a deal with multiple news publishers, granting them access to their articles for training large language models. Now, this is interesting. This is really interesting because up until this morning, all these companies were just stealing it. They were just taking it. They were crawling the whole internet and using it to train their LLMs and then selling somebody else's intellectual property through monetization of their products. Not anymore. Meta is going to be paying for it from now on. That is a dangerous precedent if you're a company like OpenAI, who already has a business model that sucks like you wouldn't believe. Now, what happens? Now all these news publishers are saying, well, we don't have to sue Meta anymore. Hey, Sam, you're next. OpenAI can't afford to pay the publishers because OpenAI is already losing money hand over fist, and they don't have Meta's pre-existing business model to finance those cash-burning operations. This could be interesting. You guys notice this AI bubble. It's coming to an end real freaking fast. You can see the shift in the narrative. Southwest Airlines is taking a big hit this morning off of the government shutdown, announcing they are not going to hit their guidance. They are the third airline to do so in a couple of days. Yield Street, watch out for this one. Let me just say, Willow Wealth, all right? At some point, maybe even on this channel, not my decision, Google's going to run the ads for whoever pays Google. Watch out for the name Willow Wealth. They are about to start spending big on ads. This is where money goes to die. Willow Wealth used to be called Yield Street. And Yield Street, a couple of years ago, was spending big advertising on places like YouTube and on TV, talking about ways that retail investors, small guys, could invest like the big dogs by democratizing access to big real estate development projects. You can invest small amounts of money in these big giant projects and, oh, you can live like the 1%. They lost hundreds of millions of dollars, default after default after default. These guys wiped people out. Their name, Yield Street, is now dirt. And so they're changing their name to Willow Wealth, and they're launching a new ad campaign. How much you want to bet? They're going to be selling retail investors access to data center investments. Yep, that's what, call it a hunch. That's what they're going to be pumping from now on. You will see those ads starting very soon here. Look out, guys. Private credit is also getting squeezed by narrow margins and tight spreads, which means everybody is cramming into this space and they're all racing to the bottom on price, competing to loan money to people who will probably not pay it back. And the people that are buying this debt are not being compensated for the risk that they're taking, what's the worst thing that could happen? Don't answer that. Guys, we got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button. You new guys, hit that subscribe button so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this one every single day. And right now, the S&P is just barely clinging to positive territory here. Up there goes red. I had to say something. Down a fraction of 1 point. I don't know what really happened at 8:30 a.m. Maybe it was that Bank of England note got released. Shout out to my friend Ash on Twitter, who sent me that one, by the way. The release of that Bank of England note about materially stretched AI valuations. Maybe that's what took the market down here. But right now, we're basically unchanged. The Dow is down 17 points, 0.04% in the red as well. And the NASDAQ is still positive, up 13 points or 0.05%. Again, we saw that sizable dip right around 8:30. And I was really struggling to figure out what it was. That Bank of England note is the only thing I can come up with. The DXY right now is down 11 points, 98.95. That should be putting some upward pressure on asset valuations this morning. The bond market, we got a mixed bag here right now. Not a lot happening with the exception of the 1 month, which is getting ready for that cut at the Fed later this month. The 30-year yield, 4.770. That is up by about a half a point. The 10-year yield at 4.112, up just a fraction of a point. The 2 years at 3.540, up almost 1 point. And the 1 month, 3.719, down almost 7 basis points. Again, that is as we get closer and closer to the Fed cutting, you're going to see that. Looking over at the commodities board, metals are having a good morning after a brief sell-off. Gold is at $42.37 for spot gold, up $29, or 0.69%. February COMEX gold futures are at $42.68. That's up $25.50, 0.6% higher for gold. Spot silver is at $58.42 here, up $1.30, or 2.25%. March COMEX silver futures are at 58.96. We were briefly back above 59 this morning. Currently up $1.47 or 2.5%. I like the shiny. Copper is up by about 0.88%. We've got platinum is lower by about 0.68%. Palladium up 1.6%. Crude oil down 0.2%. 59.55 for WTI crude in January. All right, let's look at Bitcoin. What do we got here? We're down again. 90,548 for Bitcoin. Still above that 90 threshold, just barely. But it looks like we topped out yesterday around 94,000. Actually, it was Wednesday we topped out around 94,000. Just waiting for the next big candle, guys. I don't know what the whales are doing, but they've been jerking our chain these last couple of days. So we'll see what happens there. But the Bitcoin news has been quiet for the last 24 hours or so. There, I said something. Now I've ruined it. Let's look at what's going on in Netflix this morning. Netflix to buy Warner Brothers in $72 billion cash and stock deal. Again, $72 billion is what's changing hands. It values the company a little higher than that. Netflix agreed to buy Warner Brothers Discovery in a historic combination, joining the world's dominant paid streaming service with one of Hollywood's oldest and most revered studios. Warner Brothers has been around a while, Netflix. All I'm saying is maybe you want to get yourself checked. I'm just saying. We've heard about these Warner deals before. It's got kind of a bad rep. Under the deal announced Friday, Warner Brothers shareholders will receive $27.75 a share in cash and stock in Netflix. The total equity value of the deal is $72 billion, while the enterprise value of the deal is about $82.7 billion. Prior to the closing of the sale, Warner Brothers will complete the planned spinoff of cable channels, including CNN, TBS, and TNT. I love this because Netflix is like, we're going to buy everyone. CNN, no. You know, you stay right where you're at, CNN. We wish you luck. Good luck. It's fun out there. TBS and TNT also going. Netflix has no interest in taking over traditional TV networks. That doesn't surprise me there. The acquisition marks a dramatic strategic shift for Netflix, which has never made a deal of this scope. The streaming pioneer grew to become Hollywood's most valuable company without the benefit of a library or studio by licensing programs from others and then expanding into original content. With the purchase, Netflix becomes owner of the HBO network, along with its library of hit shows like The Sopranos and The White Lotus. Was White Lotus even that good? I mean, why wouldn't you say Game of Thrones? Why White Lotus? Really? Oh, well, but I digress. Warner Brothers assets also include its sprawling studios in Burbank, California, along with vast film and TV archives that include Harry Potter and Friends, not to mention the DC Comics universe, which I guess those movies haven't really done so well. But an interesting thing to note here in the last paragraph, Netflix's interest in Warner Brothers also sent shivers through Hollywood. The company has largely refused to release films in theaters, occasionally giving its original movies limited runs in cinemas. So the movie theater business has been struggling for the last couple of years. This merger is not going to help that, not even a little bit. Warner Brothers stock is just barely positive here. We're up about 99 cents or 4% higher, trading at $25.53. Again, the deal values it at $27.75. So maybe there's a little bit of hesitancy here among market participants, wondering if maybe Congress or somebody's going to get in there and try to block this merger. Netflix stock, meanwhile, down 4% on this deal, 99.08. Netflix shareholders not liking the premium that they are paying for Warner Brothers here. All right, now back to the AI bubble. HPE falls after Outlook disappoints on slower server deals. Slower server deals, that doesn't really jive with all the demand is insane stuff that I keep hearing from everybody. Hewlett Packard Enterprise shares dropped in pre-market trading on Friday after the company gave an outlook for sales in the current quarter that fell short of high expectations for the AI server business. Revenue will be $9 billion to $9.4 billion, and profit, excluding some items, will be 57 to 61 cents in the period ending January, HPE said Thursday in a statement. Analysts on average projected sales of $9.88 billion and profit of 53 cents, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Now, this is interesting here. Revenue is going to miss, but profits are going to be better here because they were expecting 53 to 57. That reflects here that the data center business isn't really that good for the server makers. These are really tight margin businesses. Sales in the fiscal fourth quarter, which ended October 31st, also missed analyst estimates as some deals for servers to power artificial intelligence workloads were pushed into 2026, CEO Antonio Neri said in an interview. That is the same thing Supermicro said in their earnings. Oh, it's just a delay, guys. Don't worry. You know, all our servers, we were going to sell all these servers in this quarter, but we're delayed. Don't worry. We're going to make those sales next quarter. It's just a gully. One transaction in Europe is running late because of issues with a data center not being ready, he said, and agreements with the U.S. government were delayed by the federal government shutdown. HPE stock is down 8.5% on this news. It was down more than 9.5% earlier this morning. $20.95 for HPE, off by $1.91. And then we got this note from the Bank of England. Again, thank you, Ash, who sent this to me on X. This is pretty interesting. And this was released, I believe, right around 8:30 when we saw the futures start to take a little bit of a dive here. Record of the Financial Policy Committee meetings on November 25th, 2025, and the 1st of December. So this is kind of like the Fed minutes for the Bank of England here. And it's this paragraph here that I want to zero you in on that I got highlighted. In the FPC's judgment, many risky asset valuations remain materially stretched, particularly for technology companies focused on artificial intelligence. The role of debt financing in this sector is increasing quickly as AI-focused firms seek large-scale infrastructure investment, deeper links between AI firms and credit markets, and increasing interconnections between those firms mean that should an asset price correction occur, losses on lending could increase financial stability risks. Whoa. Again, central banks do not throw around phrases like financial stability risks lightly. When did AI become a risk to financial stability? In my opinion, it was years ago when I first pointed this out and the media said I was crazy and a conspiracy theorist and don't listen to me. Now the Central Bank of England is saying the same thing. Wow. Maybe it wasn't such a crazy conspiracy theory. Maybe that's why for the second day in a row, we're getting headlines like this in Bloomberg. Wall Street races to cut its risk from AI's borrowing binge. Man, do you see these narratives shifting? Can you see? Wow, what happened? What changed? I thought we were in the trust tree with the nest. Wall Street is gearing up to lend massive amounts of money to the biggest players in AI and simultaneously trying to figure out how to protect itself from any bubble that its financing may be helping to inflate. Yeah, that's Wall Street is lending massive money to AI players while simultaneously trying to figure out who's going to be holding the bag when it fails. That's what Bloomberg should have said in that paragraph. The urgency at banks to shed risk is visible all over credit markets. The cost of protecting Oracle debt against default using derivatives has risen to the highest since the global financial crisis. Morgan Stanley has looked at using significant risk transfers. We talked about that yesterday, a form of insurance against loan losses to diffuse some of the risk tied to its tech company borrowers. Mega offerings from tech behemoths, including Oracle, Meta, and Alphabet, have helped push global bond issuance to more than $6.46 trillion, with a T, in 2025. These hyperscalers, along with electric utilities and other firms, are expected to spend at least $5 trillion as they race to build data centers and other infrastructure for a technology that's promising to revolutionize the world's economy. And it's a promise from Jensen Huang, whose company has been previously accused of securities fraud, and Sam Altman, who there's all kinds of things being said about Sam Altman. I'm sure their promises are good. They got their pinkies out, so I mean, must be good, right? The sums are so large that issuers will have to tap just about all major debt markets, according to JP Morgan. It could take years for these tech investments to pay off. They won't, if they pay off at all. The rush has left some lenders overexposed, so they're using a series of tools, credit derivatives, sophisticated bonds, and some newer financial products to shift the risk of underwriting the AI boom to other investors. And what was it that Michael Burry said in The Big Short, that one of the signs of a bubble is increasing complexity and frequency of fraud? Banks are looking to create other products to allow them to offload credit risk tied to hyperscalers. At least two firms have tried to put together baskets of credit derivatives tied to tech companies, akin to an equity sector exchange traded fund, according to people with knowledge of the matter. Citadel Securities started making markets for two baskets of corporate bonds from hyperscalers, allowing investors to quickly add or reduce exposure to the companies. They're getting more and more creative with their debt products while getting this risk off their balance sheet. Meanwhile, the Bank of England says it's a risk to financial stability. The server makers are missing earnings. Nobody saw this coming. Meanwhile, check out this one. SoFi stock drops on $1.5 billion share sale announcement. For the second time this year, they are diluting their shareholders. SoFi shares fell almost 6% in extended trading Thursday after the fintech company announced a $1.5 billion stock offering. The company, which provides online loans and other banking services, said in a press release that it will use the proceeds for general corporate purposes, including but not limited to enhancing capital position, increasing optionality, and enabling further efficiency of capital management and funding incremental growth and business opportunities. In other words, they need the money. Why do they need the money? Probably because SoFi makes unsecured loans to people with probably lousy credit. And then they package that stuff into asset-backed securities and they dump it into the investment market. And asset-backed securities, probably a market that's getting a little tough to sell into, especially since Tricolor and First Brands and all these private credit companies that have been going bad and the ABS risk associated with them. SoFi stock down 7.6% on this dilution now, trading at 27.35, off by 2.25. Now, this is what's interesting. Look at a five-year chart of SoFi. And this looks almost identical to Carvana's stock chart, where you had a big decline during the not recession of 2022 and 2021. That's when the ABS market started to dry up amid higher interest rates. And these companies found it hard to take this debt and put it into bonds and sell it to somebody else. Then, of course, in this ridiculous run-up, we've seen the stock rise almost 90% this year. Interesting. If the ABS market really does throw a fit, a company like SoFi, a company like Carvana, they are in big trouble because then they'll be stuck holding the bag on their own shitty loans. And I think you'll find they don't like how that bag smells when they open it up and look inside. Oklo is also diluting. Oklo slides after disclosing equity distribution agreement up to $1.5 billion. Let's not get too much into this. Look, I am very much pro-nuclear. I worked in nuclear power for 15 years. I believe in the technology. This company worries me. I don't like this company. I don't think Sam Altman should be allowed anywhere near the keys to a nuclear reactor. And Sam Altman is a big backer of Oklo. I think Sam Altman's general attitude of growth at any cost is fundamentally incompatible with a safety-conscious attitude that's required to run a nuclear power. And I just don't think the man belongs anywhere near the nuclear industry. I see this company and the executives in this company saying things that should scare the hell out of anybody who's ever worked in the nuclear industry about how QA doesn't apply to them. And, oh, they don't need to have safety related components or anything like this because it's a new design. And, oh, our design is essentially the same as these older reactors that used to run on experimental sites that the military built. These are all kind of things that they teach us in the nuclear industry that are massive error precursors, and don't ever say things like that. But these guys never worked in nuclear power. These are all PhDs and academics who think it's real easy to run a commercial nuclear reactor. It's not. Well, they're diluting shareholders because Jensen Huang said a thing on a podcast yesterday and the stock rallied 15%. And the first thing they do is issue $1.5 billion in stock because these guys don't have an approved reactor design. Thus, they have no product, no revenue, no profits. Oklo shares only down about 4.8% after rallying 15.5% yesterday, again, on essentially nothing. Meanwhile, Elon Musk's X is being fined 120 million euros by the European Union in the first content law penalty. Yep, European Union, where they arrest you for social media posts. Now they want to fine Elon Musk 120 million euros because he didn't delete your misinformation. By the way, wasn't everything that came out of the European Union in 2020 essentially proven in hindsight to be misinformation? Maybe they shouldn't be the judges of what's true and what isn't. Maybe I'm just going to throw that one out. Elon Musk's X social network was slapped with a lower than expected 120 million euros. I guess they're supposed to be grateful about that. Fine from the European Union's controversial content moderation law in a move still set to raise tensions with the White House over free speech and tech regulation. Under the DSA, which took effect in 2023, the bloc can slap online platforms with fines of as much as 6% of their yearly global revenue for failing to tackle illegal content and disinformation or follow transparency rules. The commission officials said the fine was based on the principle of proportionality rather than the revenues. G-F-Y-E-U. That's all I have to say about that. Elon, look. There's some things that happened on X that I don't like since Elon bought the company. Some of the new features that they rolled out, I'm not crazy about. That being said, I'm glad he bought X. X was now the only place where you can actually speak your mind. And look, if you don't like what I say, don't listen. Instead of going to the government and saying, you need to find Elon Musk because he lets Jack say whatever he wants. Bite me with that crap. Meanwhile, speaking of dystopian technocrats deciding who can say what, here's Mark Zuckerberg. Meta Zuckerberg plans deep cuts for metaverse efforts. You think? Or maybe we're rushing to judgment here. Now they're going to cut the metaverse? All right. Some of the numbers here are just amazing. Meta Platforms' Mark Zuckerberg is expected to meaningfully cut resources for building the so-called metaverse, an effort that he once framed as the future of the company and the reason for changing its name from Facebook. And new Coke all over again. Executives are considering potential budget cuts as high as 30% for the Metaverse Group next year, which includes the virtual worlds product Meta Horizons Worlds and its Quest virtual reality unit, according to people familiar with the talks who asked not to be named. Cuts that high would most likely include layoffs as early as January, according to the people, though the final decision has not been made. Meta confirmed a reduction in resources for the Metaverse and said savings are expected to funnel toward other futuristic projects within Meta's Reality Labs division, including AI glasses and other wearables. Let's see. There was a number somewhere in here I had. What was the number? It was unreal. Okay, the Metaverse Group sits within Reality Labs, the Meta division focused on long-term bets like VR headsets and AR glasses. That group has lost more than $70 billion since the start of 2021, they spent $70 billion on the metaverse. That's amazing. Zuckerberg has largely stopped mentioning the metaverse in public and on company earnings calls, and instead focused on developing the large AI models that underpin AI chatbots and other generative AI products. You know, the next thing they're losing all this money on, as well as the hardware products that are more linked to those experiences, like Meta's Ray-Ban smart display glasses. Now, here's something else I wanted to talk about in this article. The proposed metaverse cuts are part of the company's annual budget planning for 2026, which included a series of meetings at Zuckerberg's compound in Hawaii. People familiar with the company said Zuckerberg has asked Meta executives to look for 10% across the board cuts, which has been the standard request during similar budget cycles the past few years. 10% across the board cuts. All right, so they're asking everybody to cut here, not just Metaverse. The big cut is coming from Metaverse, obviously. I have to wonder, is this a precursor between this and the story about Microsoft lowering their sales quotas? Are we seeing the early innings of big tech finally cutting their ridiculous CapEx in AI? I have to wonder. Meanwhile, we got this one here from Axios this morning. Meta strikes multiple AI deals with news publishers. They're not just stealing it anymore. Now they're going to start paying for it. This is a first. Meta on Friday said it has struck several commercial AI data agreements with news publishers, ranging from USA Today, People, CNN, Fox News, The Daily Caller, Washington Examiner, and Le Monde. Meta backed away from compensating news companies several years ago, but has resumed paying for editorial content as it invests more in its AI chat tools that require real-time access to verified news. So they're paying for what they used to just steal. This is important because OpenAI is still stealing and they're still being sued. So are all of the other guys. If the precedent is now set that we pay and the courts rule against the large language models, and now they all need to start paying, well, then that means all these projections about how much money OpenAI is going to lose, they all need to be rejiggered to account for an even bigger cash burn here. Meta stock this morning. Opening bell has rung. Meta stock is actually up this morning by 0.2%, $4.22. They were up several percent yesterday, still riding high on the news that they are going to stop incinerating money on the metaverse. Southwest, meanwhile, has cut their profits goal as the shutdown upends flight travel. It seems the government shutdown made a mess in the air travel industry. Southwest lowered its operating profit target for the full year, citing the fallout from recent U.S. government shutdown, as well as higher fuel prices. The U.S. airline now expects earnings before interest and taxes to be approximately $500 million, compared with its prior expectation of $600 to $800 million. That's according to a statement on Friday. Shares declined in pre-market trading. Bookings have recovered to the previous forecast after a temporary slowdown, Southwest said. The filing comes days after Delta Airlines said it took a $200 million hit after having more than 2,000 flight cancellations during the government shutdown. Alaska Air also cut its fourth quarter profit goal, citing the flight restrictions as well as an IT outage. So now we got three airlines taking big hits from the government shutdown. Southwest, all things considered, and holding up all right this morning, down 1%. $35.43 for Southwest. All right, guys, here's one to watch out for. $208 million wiped out. Yield Street investors rack up more losses as firm rebrands to Willow Wealth. Watch out for that name, Willow Wealth. They are coming for your money because they had to change their name because they lost so much of other people's money. There's the ads. You guys remember these ads? They were going around an awful lot on YouTube a couple of years ago. As Yield Street tries to distance itself from a rocky past with a new name and ad campaign, its customers are dealing with a present reality that is increasingly dire. The private markets investing startup, freshly rebranded as Willow Wealth, last week informed customers of new defaults on real estate projects in Houston, Texas, and Nashville, Tennessee, CNBC has learned. The letters obtained and verified by CNBC account for about $41 million in new losses. They come on the heels of $89 million in marine loan wipeouts disclosed in September and $78 million in losses revealed by CNBC in an August report. In total, Willow Wealth investors have lost at least $208 million, according to CNBC reporting. Willow Wealth also removed a decade of historical performance data from view in recent weeks. A chart on the company's website showing annualized returns of negative 2% for real estate investments from 2015 to 2025, down from 9.4% gains just 2 years prior, has been taken down. Hiding their losses, just kind of like the fruit trading gurus on Twitter that used to send me threatening messages in my DMs. They delete all their losing posts, right? Yeah, that's how that works. They had to change their name, said Mark Williams, a professor at Boston University's Questrom School of Business. Their old name had negative value to it, so they're trying to do a 2.0 to restart things. They're also making it harder to uncover their poor performance by removing the stats, which is alarming. And again, they're launching a new ad campaign, so these guys are trying to hide their lousy history. They're after your money. Watch out for those ads on Willow Wealth. Meanwhile, private credit profits come under narrow threat as loan margins narrow. And guys, this is indicative of the mania going on in private credit. Not only are they lending money to people who, in my opinion, quite obviously can't pay it back, but they're not getting compensated for it. They are increasingly lowering their price and thus reducing the yield that their investors are getting on this debt. The worst bear markets in a generation brought private credit firms to prominence in 2022. This year's bull markets have laid them low. The $1.7 trillion industry has been coming under threat from lower interest rates and competition from Wall Street banks dangling the most attractive borrowing costs in years. That's left many private credit funds with idle cash and falling returns as they struggle to invest the billions they raised during the boom years. They're lowering their standards and they're lowering their prices, making riskier and riskier loans, getting less and less compensation for doing it. Private loan margins, the spread over a base rate, and one of the biggest drivers of a firm's profit have fallen to a median of below 500 basis points in the latest quarter. That's according to Wells Fargo data that spans global transactions, compared with 650 basis points in the first quarter of 2023. And at least three deals in recent weeks were negotiated at margins far less than that, setting new watermarks for pricing. In the U.S., where deeper market offers still lower pricing, a group of private credit lenders, including Blackstone, recently offered a third Permira-owned borrower website builder Squarespace one of the lowest spreads for a direct loan of about 400 basis points, 4% above what you'd get on a freaking T-bill. That's what you're getting for loaning to these cash-burning companies. That is just terrible. Yet these margins are no match for what Wall Street can offer on loans with more competitive pricing and fewer covenants, if any at all. They're lending at spreads of around 360 basis points, about 3.5% above what you get on a freaking T-bill at parts of Europe, and just 285 basis points in the U.S., according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Investors in broadly syndicated loans are willing to accept lower margins than direct lending peers, but that also means leveraged loans are generating less income for institutional investors than private credit is. This is what's so sick about this industry. Even as all these defaults happen, people are not getting compensated for the risk. They're buying dog shit loans. They're paying way too much. They're getting almost no yield, even as these things go bad one by one. Be careful, guys, with private credit. This is just one of many bubbles waiting to burst in this market. And I just want to say thank you very much to my man, Travis, from Real Estate Mindset. I saw that, Travis, before we even went live. You were very quick on the draw this morning. He says, it's Flippin' Friday, ladies and gentlemen, LFG. And he's first. Congratulations, Travis, for being first. I appreciate the support of the channel. And check out Real Estate Mindset while you're at it. He is the most bonkers man on YouTube. And Mr. Hunt and Cover, thank you, sir, so much for supporting the channel. Appreciate the generosity. He says, Myrtle Beach Grandma wants some new coffee mug colors. Diversified investment. Are we unsatisfied with the black, white, and red options that are currently available? You say, I need to diversify my mug. All right. We'll look into that. Maybe a green mug, maybe an orange mug. You know, treat myself a little bit. Who knows? We'll see. Hey, sure, why not? Myrtle Beach Grandma, she's a sweetheart. She gets what she wants. We'll look into some new mug colors. And speaking of mugs, guys, I will be bringing the merch back on the channel. That will be happening maybe even today. We'll see if we get that one day today done today. I got a lot going on today. Also, later on today, I've got Craig Fuller from Freight Waves coming on the channel. It's going to be a little late in the day. We're doing that interview, so I may run that one tomorrow morning. I may put it up late tonight. We'll see. Depends on what I can get done. And I just want to say today is our Patreon Zoom, our get-together for Magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube, Patreon, and Dashboard. Looking forward to talking to you guys at 2 p.m. Links down below to all that good stuff, should you feel so inclined. Thank you very much to Mr. Hunt and Cover. Oh, Mish, really? Why didn't I think of that? You know, I'm randomly thinking of colors, and Mish says 100% silver mug. How about a solid silver mug? Do they sell mugs in silver? Isn't silver supposed to be, like, really healthy to eat and drink off of? I need to get myself a pure silver, maybe a sterling silver mug. There's got to be something out there. All right, I'll go look around for that. Great idea, Mish. I like the way you think. Maybe we'll just trot that one out on really good silver days. By the way, silver's having a very good day today. I like the way you think. Thank you, Mish, for everything you do for the channel. Oh, Snowman, I see you trying to one-up the silver. We are moving our way down the metals rung a little bit. Come on, StreamYard. Where is it? Where? Oh, Snowman is saying tinfoil mug. There it is. Right, yeah, a tinfoil mug. We have to do this. We get a mug to match the hat. I guess we could do that. Yep. Anyways, guys, tinfoil mug, that sounds messy, maybe even a little unsanitary. Thank you very much, Snowman, for being a magnanimous or being a Melonhead member. Pasta Man saying cat shit wrapped in dog shit for that private credit. Yeah, yeah, it really is. And by the way, quoting, who was that? That was one of the guys from Front Point in The Big Short. Was that Rafe Spall? Was that Danny Moses' character, I think? Anyways, thank you, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. Silver Shot Glass KDM. You guys are all about the shiny this morning. I don't have a Silver Shot Glass handy. I do have one in my pile of sterling somewhere, but we'll just have to flash the Murica Silver Bar one time while we're at it. Thank you, KDM, for supporting the channel. M&J, a gold chalice. All right, keep things humble, I see, huh? You know, nothing too fancy, but I don't know, man. The last time I saw somebody drink out of a gold chalice, he got old real fast. What movie? Let me know in the comments. He chose poorly. Thank you, M&J, for everything you do for the channel. Arbitrage says, silver conducts heat. You'll need to chug it quick. You know what? Coffee getting cold is rarely a problem around these parts, Arbitrage. This place, yeah, we run on caffeine. And by the way, we're getting a little low in this mug. It's time for a refill. We got a lot to do today. So thank you very much, Arbitrage, for supporting the channel. And thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melon Heads this morning. Thank you guys so much for the generosity in the Super Chats. Thank you also to my magnanimous Melon Head members on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. As always, don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out to the YouTube algorithm should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.